Let's just unite our hearts together as we turn to Matthew 18, the passage that Emma read tonight. How to be converted. We entitled our message. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy presence. We bless thee, Lord, for our young people that thou hast given to us. And Lord, for each one that has taken part this evening. And O God, we pray that thou would shut us in just with thyself for the remaining time of our meeting. Lord, we would know thy speaking voice. We pray, Lord, thou would speak, Lord, not only to the young person tonight, but to the older. And O God, especially to those that are yet not converted. Father, to this end, I pray that thou would fill us with thy Spirit and with thy power. Anoint us from above that we might preach as thus, and thus saith the Lord. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I trust that we are thankful to God for our children and for the young people that God has given us in this congregation. I believe again tonight and over the last number of weeks in particular, we have seen the talent that the Lord has bestowed upon them and what God could do with those who place themselves at his disposal. You see, there are many today who take young people for granted and they criticize them and they give them a hard time. And it is a case that they don't do this or they don't do that or the other. And they tend to forget that they didn't do those things either at their age. That spirit, of course, is more extreme in the world at large. It takes on a more sinister pathway where there is the abuse of children and where there is the neglect of them. To the extent that guardians do not care as long as they are all right themselves. Men and women, I am encouraged in the midst of such an evil and wicked age to know that when I come to the Scriptures that it reveals to me a God who loves the children and who loves the young people. Throughout the Gospels, you'll often find that the children came to the Savior or were brought to him. And in this passage, there is no exception. For it is in a chapter which deals with division and dissension among God's people, as you can see from the rest of the verses, take time when you go home to read them. Yet the Lord here was to cause a little child. And he was to call that child to set them in the midst of them. And he did so that the disciples would be convicted about their own divisions, about who should be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. What a blessed truth the Savior was to teach this day, as can be seen from the words of my text in verse 3. For he said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." There's a verse that tells us how to be converted. First of all, here there's a necessity. How futile and frivolous are the arguments of men. Which one was going to be greatest was the topic of their conversation, and it's often found among the disciples. And yet it was just at the end of chapter 16 of this gospel that we find the Lord beginning to show unto the disciples that he must needs go to Jerusalem, and there he would suffer, and there he would die at the hands of the chief priests and elders before being raised again the third day. But even though the Lord spoke of that great truth, even though the Lord spoke of his work of redemption whereby he had come from heaven and which would take place at Calvary, it didn't seem to affect the disciples. They still were thinking about themselves and what position they might have in his kingdom. And with bated breath, they waited for the Lord to give them the answer. But he bypassed them all. And he called this little child and he taught them a solitary lesson, and that was the necessity or the need of conversion. You look at the verse, it says, "Verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted." What is conversion? But a change. A change of heart. a change of will, a change of mind. It is that which follows the work of regeneration, which God causes, where God causes life to be imparted to the dead sinner, something that we cannot do of ourselves, and the result is conversion. In other words, repentance and faith. And minimum, listen, without conversion, there's no salvation. And as the Lord spoke of conversion, then we must ask ourselves, why is it necessary? It is so because we are all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. The scriptures remind us that there is none righteous, no, not one. For as Adam sinned, and as he disobeyed God in the garden upon the threat of death, then so all of mankind fell and sinned in Adam. We are sinners by birth, by nature, and by practice. If we consider the manner in which the Apostle Paul speaks of it in the opening verses of Ephesians chapter 2, then we notice that his language is not dissimilar to that of the Savior. Chapter 2 verse 1 says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Dear unconverted loved one in this meeting house tonight, you are a child of wrath. That's what the Lord says. And that's what you inherited when you were born. Whatever place or status of one's birth, whether you were born in a palace or in a hovel, there's no difference. Everyone is born exposed to wrath and liable to the wrath of God against your sin. And for that reason, you need to be converted. But then you'll consider also you need converted and changed because by birth and because of sin, our backs are toward God and we're facing a lost eternity. When Adam sinned and disobeyed the Lord God, there was something happened. Adam fled from the Lord. Instead of having that sweet communion with him, sin robbed mankind of communion and fellowship with the Lord God. Sin drives a distance between the holy God and a sinful people. And because of man's sin, because he turned in rebellion, complete rebellion to what God had said, then that means that his back is toward God and his face is toward that place where God has forgotten to be merciful. And I want you not to miss something here. For you know, we're more and more in a day of political correctness. You can hardly say anything lest it might be considered as improper, or which might give cause for offense. Here is an instance where the Savior called a little child into their midst. And with that child in the midst of them, the Lord still spoke about hell. Did you notice that? He still spoke about hell and of perishing and of being lost. Look at the words of verse 8. "Wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire." And that little child is in the midst of them. There are those today and they would try and tell us you can't speak about hell in front of children. You can't bring that message to young people. They would be traumatized. The faithful steward and watchman is to warn of the coming danger. The Sunday school teacher, the children's worker, they will do it in a manner which is tactful. But they'll not omit it altogether. The preacher telling you about hell and about a lost eternity. Whether young or old tonight, I want you to understand there is a hell to which you're going to in your sin. There is a hell where God will punish sin for all eternity. There is a hell where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. There is a lost eternity that this preacher will warn you about. And that is why you need to be converted. Unless in your sin you would continue on into that place. There is a need of conversion because sinners are bankrupt before God. You see, it's not in man to have faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For faith is a gift of God, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. And neither does man have it in him the fear of God. Romans 3 reminds us that there's no fear of God before their eyes. Neither is it in man to have a love for or a love towards God. None that seeketh after him. Dear sinner, tonight you do not love God. You do not of yourself seek God for the welfare of your soul. You are dead in trespasses and in sins, and therefore you must be born again of God's Spirit. You need God to effect this work in you that will bring you to repentance of your sin and to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior of a lost mankind. And you'll never see your need of Christ unless and until you realize that you are that lost and that guilty sinner before God who is bankrupt before the Lord. And but for His mercy, you already will be in a lost sinner's hell. That was something that William Gadsby was to realize in the depths of his sin. If you don't know who William Gadsby was, he was to become a Baptist preacher in Manchester. Ministered there for 37 years. A good book on him that you could read. But in his unsaved days, he understood not only his depravity, but he also understood his inability to do anything in and of himself. And he said, and I quote to you, "And I could no more get at Christ than I could pull God from his throne." You see, he needed the mercy of God just as you do tonight. He needed the Spirit of God to work in his heart just as you do tonight. He needed to be regenerated and converted unto Christ. And dear sinners, so do you tonight. But I want to move on from that. I want you to notice not only the necessity of conversion, but the evidence. How can we test what is a true conversion? The Savior wants to illustrate it. He shows its evidence by the child that was in the midst of them. He said, in the words of our text, "Except ye be converted and become as little children." And for us to understand that, we need to consider some things that are characteristic of little children. The evidence of true conversion is the spirit of humility. But that's one thing that a child will display. Oh, what a rebuke this was to the adults. What a rebuke this was to the disciples around the Lord who were arguing over who would be the greatest among them. They had the greatest ambitions for themselves. Those disciples were lifted up by their own importance and what position that they might inherit in Christ's kingdom. But the Lord here comes and he chastens them by stating that the effect of true conversion is that spirit of humility. Instead of being like the Pharisee in the temple and thinking how great he was and what he had done, it's the spirit of the publican who would not so much as lift up his eyes toward heaven, but smote upon his breast saying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." That is the spirit of humility. It's taking the lowly place. It's recognizing that in and of ourselves we are nothing and will be nothing apart from Christ. It is that childlike spirit that brings us to an end of ourselves and realizing our sin, we can only look to the one who bore our sin and who paid the penalty for it in his own body on that tree. It's like the hymn writer put it, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to his cross I cling." Has there been that humility in your life's experience? You know, that's something you'll see in a young person, a child, humility. Something else about a child, it's totally dependent upon the parent. It can do little of himself, and so it is dependent upon the one who cares and who loves them and who feeds them. The child will, without question, trust their parent. They will confide in them. And as it is in the physical sense, then so it is likewise spiritually. If, dear soul, you are to be saved, then you must, in repentance of your sin, cast your all upon the Lord, pleading for his mercy. You will rest solely upon the one who cares and loves his children so much that he willingly came and gave himself upon that old rugged cross. As verse 11 of this chapter states, and it's a good job we don't use the NIV in this church because you'd have problems finding it. They've taken it out. What a travesty. I think that tells us more about the spirit of the translators of the modern versions. What is the verse? For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Imagine taking that out. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. And that meant him paying the full price of our redemption by laying down his life upon that cross of Calvary, by shedding his own precious blood. You see, God's salvation is found only by laying hold upon Christ by faith, resting your life, your eternity, your soul's well-being upon him who loved us and who gave himself for us. Let me ask you tonight, what are you dependent upon? Are you dependent upon your Father's provision? If your dependence is not upon Christ and the finished work of Calvary, I don't care what else it is, then I want to tell you you're resting and you're depending on a false hope. It's Christ and him crucified alone. Something else about a little child, they will be submissive. Without query, the little child will yield to the instruction of the father or the mother. There's a childlike submissiveness. And is that not the spirit that the sinner needs to know God's salvation? If you're to be saved, if you're to be washed in the Savior's blood, then you must come God's way. You must submit to the way of the cross, for the way of the cross leads home. As having done with your own ideas, ideas which are nothing but the way of the thief and the robber, which the Lord was to warn about in John chapter 10. It's having done with your own preconceived notions as to how God will accept you. If I do this or if I do that, then it will be all right. It's having done with that rebellion and submitting to God's way. And that is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And these things can only be your experience through the power of God's Spirit. It's God who's able to change your heart and to give you a new heart. It's God who can give you a new spirit. And it's God that gives you a new nature, whereby you'll desire to walk and to live for him. The evidence of conversion is summed up in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What a test this is. Tell me, have you experienced this change? Have you been converted? There's the necessity of it. There's the evidence of it. But finally, there's also the blessings of it. For when we consider the last words of our text, then it can only but lead us to consider the blessings that the repentant sinner can have. For the Lord said unto him, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's a blessing of being called and sought of the Lord, just as this child was. You see, the Lord called the little child, verse 2. And the Lord's still calling children. And he's still calling young people, and he's still calling older. He's calling sinners, you see, unto himself. And he says, come unto me, all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Just as the shepherd goes in search of that one lost sheep of which we read of in this chapter, and he searches until he finds it. So the shepherd of our souls is still seeking out his lambs and his sheep. Oh, men and women, young people, what a blessing to hear that call of the Lord in the gospel, to know the pleadings of God's Spirit on your soul. And while others are passed by, what a blessing that you should hear words, words whereby you must be saved. And so, dear friend, while the Spirit is striving and while the Lord is calling, don't delay any further. Start off this year in Christ. Call upon him in mercy to save your soul, to convert you unto himself. There's a blessed security that God also gives in salvation. For the sinner, the greatest blessing surely is to be reconciled to a holy God and to be at peace with him. Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what takes place at conversion. We who once were afar off are made nigh by the precious blood. There is that union with Christ where before there was that enmity. There is that relationship with the friend of sinners where before there was that distance caused due to sin. There is peace with God, peace over sins forgiven, where before there was fear and there was guilt. And once we knew the blessing, once we know the blessing of God's salvation, then there's that security and there's that safety in Christ from which nothing can separate us. But there's also that security of a place in heaven. Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Father's house is barred to all, but to those that are converted. It is a prepared place. I go to prepare a place for you. It's a prepared place for those who have repented and those who have saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there we shall go to be with Christ, who is the head and who is the center of all that is in Emmanuel's land. His desire is that his people would be with him. John 17 and 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Have you the assurance of such a security in Christ tonight, of the security of a home in glory one day? That's what God's conversion gives you. That's what God's salvation does for you. And the blessing of conversion is that we sinful and guilty hell-deserving sinners are saved from perishing in that lake which burneth with fire. For God will not payment twice to man, first at my bleeding surety hand and then again at mine. The soul that has been saved by God's grace, converted to Christ from sin, is a soul that will never perish. For the Lord has said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Let me ask you, do you know by experience what it is to be safe in the arms of Jesus? You have held a child in your arms, and oh, it's so secure. You'd hold that child tight. My friend, I'm speaking in the spiritual context as the Lord uses the child as an illustration. Are you safe tonight in God's arms? Do you know you are because you're saved? You've been converted. There's been that moment in your life's experience when God wrought the work of grace in your heart and you were changed. No longer were you a child of the devil, but you were brought to being a child of God in the family of God. Do you have these blessings of being converted from your lost condition to salvation through Christ Jesus? William Gadsby, whom I mentioned before, was brought to that point just as a young man of 17. That'll be the age of some of our youth fellowship. His account of it is as follows. His blessed Spirit brought me to feel the love and the blood of Christ. Then how my heart melted. I desire a year of melting hearts in this house. How my heart melted, he said. I was brought to his footstool with all humility, simplicity, and godly sincerity like a child. I was then solemnly and blessedly led to believe in God's free mercy and pardon, and could look up and say, he loved me and gave himself for me. Will you look up tonight to Christ? Will you look away to him by faith and be saved? God help you to do so for his glory's sake. Let's bow our heads in closing a word of prayer. You can know the blessing of conversion this evening. You don't need a minister, but we're here for you if you do. You can seek the Lord just where you are, recognizing you're the sinner, recognizing you need God's salvation. And thank God, if he does the work, it'll be done. And it'll be done right. And it'll be done for time and for eternity, and there'll be the evidence. And you'll know the blessing of it. Don't hold back. Come this evening. Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank the Lord for the simplicity of it. And oh God, how thou didst use a little child in the midst to even speak to the disciples. And oh Father, we thank the Lord that thou hast said, except ye be converted as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I pray, Lord, that thou might speak in the closing seconds of this service. Lord, as our young people has taken part tonight, it might have been the means of speaking to individuals. Those, Lord, maybe a little older. Those, Lord, that have traversed life's pathway for many years now, and yet they're not converted, they're not saved, they have no security. Oh God, they're missing out on the blessings of what it is to be a child of God. And I pray that thou would give that gift of faith tonight, to enable that loved one, maybe even a young person, to call unto thee to save them. Lord, restore the backslider, that they might again know that peace, that security, that safety that only Christ can give. Do a work in hearts this evening. Part us with thy blessing and in thy fear. Accept of our thanks for all you've been to us this night. For we ask these things in our Savior's precious and all-worthy name. Amen.